Money Psychology. Money Psychology.
Every time we reach for a wallet, check a balance, or hit confirm on a purchase, it's not just numbers. It's old lessons and fears showing up again. I keep coming back to that. And I'm Elliot Graves, and you're listening to Money Psychology. Okay, so here's the thing that's been bouncing around my head. What happens when the money you make inside a game starts to feel more solid than what's in your bank account? That question hits everything at once. Identity, safety, belonging. We're stepping into virtual economies here. Online games, crypto markets, all these places people used to treat as play. Hold on. Used to treat as play is doing a lot of work. What shifted for you there? Families used to talk about chores and allowances. Now I'm meeting clients who learned risk and reward from trading digital items or buying their first coin. The emotional imprint is forming in those worlds. Same. My whole career's been about how upbringing shapes financial decisions, and this is a new classroom. Kids are learning variance, scarcity, and opportunity cost by grinding for loot or flipping tokens. It's a different psychological landscape. As a therapist, I'm fascinated by the identity piece. People are building entire financial selves in those spaces. The line between that's just my avatar and that's me starts to blur. Then I'm going to drag us into the mechanics, because your phrase, the money matrix, won't leave my head. In-game gear isn't just shiny, it's capital. A sword helps you beat a boss to get a better drop. Assets beget assets. And it's human capital, too. Skill, teamwork, reputation. Big guilds are basically companies recruiting top performers. It's a labor market in miniature, headhunting based on what you've built inside the game. They even spin up their own currencies. Dragon Kill Points, DKP, weren't coded by the developers. Players invented a ledger to split the spoils of shared effort. That's a social contract masquerading as math. Watching that is like seeing a microeconomy form in a petri dish. They're solving allocation problems with currency they collectively imagined into being. And it acts like money. You stockpile points, store of value. You bid on loot, medium of exchange. Inside that circle, it checks all the boxes. Is that where the wire gets tripped? Yes, because those points represent hundreds of hours. You're spending time you can't get back. That makes every choice feel weighty, and that weight doesn't just vanish when you log off. So it spills over. People think, I spent 3 months on this shield. It's valuable. I should be able to sell it. And then they do. eBay, niche sites, a gray market shows up overnight. Developers hated that at first. Blizzard and others tried to stamp it out. Bans, takedowns, because it punctured the fantasy, the so-called magic circle that's supposed to keep the game sealed off. You can't really out-legislate human nature. If a thing has value, people trade it. And now the legal world's scrambling. Is it an asset, a service, property? Second Life is the classic case. A player got banned and lost virtual land. The company stopped saying own in marketing after that. Suddenly, courts had to ask what ownership means when the deed is a line of code. And then there's the edge case where the line doesn't blur, it flips. You're about to say Venezuela. Venezuela. For a stretch, RuneScape Gold held value better than the Bolivar. People survived by farming digital coins because the in-game economy was more stable than the national one. That image won't leave me. Earning dinner by killing a virtual monster because your country's currency can't be trusted? That's the ground moving under how we think about money. At that point, it isn't play. It's a lifeline. Your brain rewires around it. Rewards, fear, urgency, all tuned to a fantasy world that's paying your rent. And the job is precarious. No labor laws, no safeguards. A patch can land overnight and nuke the value of what you farm. Your income can disappear. What do you even do with that? Meanwhile, someone in California drops $50 on that gold because they're busy and it feels like a simple convenience. A time saver.
Right. But on the other side, that 50 might be a week's wages. There's a real ethical gap in that transaction.
This isn't new, just amplified.
When the official system doesn't serve people, emergent economies show up.
You mean when players themselves decide what counts as valuable? Exactly. Diablo II is my favorite example. The Stone of Jordan, rare, useful, tiny, became the unofficial currency. No developer decree. The community made it money by acting like it was money. A homegrown stablecoin, essentially.
And you're going to mention cigarettes in prison, aren't you?
You beat me to it. Same psychology. When the sanctioned unit fails or is clunky, people converge on a portable, trusted stand-in. It's an agreement first, an asset second. That's the center of the whole thing. The ring or the cigarette isn't valuable by itself. The shared belief is the value, which, uncomfortably, is also how our real money works.
That's the same engine.
And when your identity fuses with it, when your avatar stops being a character and starts being your income source, self-worth gets braided into level, gear, status.
How could it not?
Your avatar becomes your storefront, your factory. Its performance sets your quality of life. The emotional stakes aren't separable from the economic ones.
All while the end-user license agreement says, none of this is real. You don't own it.
Players click agree, then go build livelihoods inside that contradiction.
That contradiction is wild. A functioning economy with real consequences and a legal document insisting it's pretend.
Which is why courts are getting dragged in. If you spend years and real money building a virtual business and a company can erase it with a keystroke, were you robbed? That question pokes at centuries of property law. You can't lock a virtual item in a vault, but if someone pays 10 grand for it, it has to count as something.
I keep saying has to, like I'm certain.
I'm not. Not robbed. Maybe breach of contract. Different labels, huge implications. Either way, this is the frontier. New property rights because someone wanted a cooler sword. And that's the surreal part. Massive shifts in law and economics, all traced back to something we waved away as play.
Maybe the line was always a bit of an illusion.
Time spent was real. Feelings were real. Friendships were real. Why are we shocked when the value shows up as real, too?
We treated it like a sealed universe, but our psychology doesn't clock out when we log in.
The same drives, achievement, belonging, fear of loss, just show up wearing different clothes.
So what do we do with that? If your kid is deep in a game, or you're eyeing crypto and feeling the pull, where do you even start?
I start with conversation. Not how much gold did you get, but what did it feel like to reach that goal?
There's an emotional economy running parallel to the financial one. If we skip the feelings, we miss the map.
So you're prioritizing the inner experience.
Because tying self-worth to a new set of armor is a bigger psychological hazard than losing a few hundred on a bad trade.
Keep one foot in the offline things that can't be patched or nerfed. Relationships, routines, a sense of meaning that isn't at the mercy of a game update.
I'm with you.
And I want to bolt on the practical. We need financial literacy for these worlds. Treat them like any risky market. Understand volatility. Diversify. And remember that big upside often rides with the chance of a total wipeout.
So, digital financial literacy. I'm on board. Ignoring this would be like telling a teenager in the 90s the internet's a fad.
It's here, new terrain. People need a map and a compass, and a reminder of where home base is. Engage, learn the rules, and remember that value, whether dollars or dragon gold, comes from shared agreement.
We get to decide which agreements we participate in.
An intentional agreement.
That's where I'd land.
When I see someone make a money move that surprises even them, impulsive splurge or ultra-cautious hedge, I ask, Whose voice is talking here, and what memory is steering this? That reflection doesn't magically fix choices, but it shifts them toward your current reality instead of your childhood script.